hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
When the door is locked, there's no way out.
Now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former 49ers center Randy Cross. Let me give you some background on Randy. He's from Brooklyn, New York, played his college ball at UCLA. He played both center and guard during his time there. He was named first-team All-American his senior season. He also won UCLA's George W. Dickerson Award as the team's most outstanding lineman in 1974 and 75. He helped UCLA to an improbable win over number one-ranked and undefeated Ohio State in the 1975 Rose Bowl. Randy was a second-round draft pick by the San Francisco 49ers in 1976, and he played in the league from 76 to 88, all with the 49ers. He was named to the Pro Bowl three times, and he helped them win three Super Bowl championships. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2010. After he retired from the NFL, he became a fantastic NFL analyst for CBS Sports and Sirius XM, and we're very honored he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Randy, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Randy. It's a pleasure. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're fantastic. Happy New Year to you and your family. How are you doing?
Happy New Year. No, doing fantastic.
Randy, I want to start our time with you tonight by going all the way back to your high school days. I read that you were a high school shot put champion, and you won the state championship beating future world record holder Terry Albritton and WWE legend Jim Neidhart. Based on the great things that those guys would go on to achieve, that has to be an even bigger thrill now when you look back on it.
Yeah. No, it was a big deal then. And that's sort of the last time I really competed in the shot put, you know, seriously. I did a little bit my freshman year, through the 16 pound shot, like 60 feet or so as a young, you know, like 18, 19 year old freshman. But I never really much liked lifting weights, to be honest with you. It was all about technique and quickness and things like that, which I really liked. But the whole lifting weights thing, I never really caught on until about my second year in the pros.
Randy, I also read that you were recruited by Alabama, Texas, and Nebraska, who happened to be the number one team in the country at that time. So how was UCLA able to lure you away from three of the top teams in the country?
Well, the late Terry Donahue, you know, what people don't know is he was a defensive tackle at UCLA on a Rose Bowl team in 66 that beat another number one team, Michigan State. And this defensive tackle next to him was a guy named Steve Butler. Steve Butler was my high school football coach. One of my high school football coaches. Three of them also played on that Rose Bowl team. So I guess they kind of had an edge with me. Plus I was raised pretty simply as a football fan. My dad loved football. And he had two favorite teams. He loved Notre Dame, and he loved whoever was playing SC.
Hey, Randy, during your time at UCLA, you mentioned Terry Donahue. You also got an opportunity to play for Pepper Rodgers and then Dick Vermeil. Talk about what it was like playing for those guys.
Yeah, it was pretty special. Pepper was very unusual, really smart football guy, but, you know, kind of had a whole shtick going on, the way he, you know, he had the Southern drawl and all that, which was an interesting deal for an LA team. But after his second year, he left to go to Georgia Tech, which was his alma mater. So when he left, Dick Vermeil, who was, you know, one of his claims to fame, and hopefully he's soon to be a Hall of Fame football coach too. He was a special team coordinator for Tommy Prothrow with the LA Rams. And he was like the first guy to ever be quote unquote a special teams coordinator. And, he came from that job right over to UCLA as a head coach, 2 years of that. And we won that Rose Bowl. And next thing you knew, Dick was coaching the Philadelphia Eagles.
Five questions for Randy.
Hey, Randy, it's great to speak with you. Thanks for joining us. And I'll ask you what I did to Don Beebe earlier in the night about your draft day back in 1976. You know, having going to college in California, Randy, to be picked by the 49ers. What were your expectations that day? What do you remember about that whole 76 draft?
Well, my expectations actually, I didn't really much think about getting drafted until probably that spring after my junior year where the scouts started talking to me. And I remember there was a scout that used to be a head coach, actually coach of the Niners, name was Red Pickey. And he was a scout for the Dallas Cowboys. And their head sort of their whole talent evaluation back then was Gil Brandt. And Gil told me that I was going to be a first-round draft pick. And I looked at him like, seriously? Okay, great. But that day of the draft, you know, I'm sitting at my parents' house, sitting as close to that kitchen phone as I could get, hoping it would ring. It did ring right before the 28th or 27th pick, which was that year was Cleveland. And I gave them probably the worst answer of my life, asked a question. They asked me what I thought about being a Cleveland Brown. I said, Cleveland, like in Ohio? And needless to say, they didn't draft a Southern California kid. It worked out well for them, though. They drafted a fullback out of Purdue by Mike Pruitt, who did a great job for them. So, yeah, it was a whole different kind of process back in 76, but it worked out really well, you know, being a California kid.
And, Randy, I think when people think of yourself and the old 49er teams, you know, they think that you're always joined at the hip with Joe Montana. But when you came in the league that in 76, Jim Plunkett was the quarterback. And, you know, Plunkett had a great career. We always hear about him and what he had to overcome, and his character was very high. What do you remember about him, the first quarterback he basically played with?
Yeah, just a great guy. We made that trade. They traded away their number one pick. Gosh, I think for 4 years, the first two went to New England for Jim Plunkett, and the second two went to the Buffalo Bills for O.J. Simpson. But yeah, Plunkett was really good. And one of the reasons he had to have that sort of year to rest and heal, before he won a Super Bowl with the Raiders, you know, Al Davis picked him up after the Niners cut him. Poor Jim had to stand behind a lot of us that were kind of learning our craft. And, he suffered physically for it, but, still just a fantastic guy. One of the nicest people I ever played football with. And it's a shame. It was good to see Tom Flores recognized as a Hall of Fame coach here recently, but I think a guy like Jim Plunkett also deserves that recognition.
Randy, I want to take you back to college just for another minute. And, as you mentioned, your father loved whoever beat SC. Must have made him a happy day back in 75 when you guys beat SC 25-22 that propelled you guys to get into that Rose Bowl game, which we'll talk about in a minute. But in that game against SC, as I was reviewing the stats, Wendell Tyler, big game, 130 yards. But you guys fumbled the ball 11 times. What do you remember about that day?
Fumbling 11 times. running the ball. We were a Houston Deer offense, so we could run the ball like crazy. And that's the only reason that game was that close is two reasons. One, we fumbled the ball a lot. And number two, John McKay, for some reason, instead of continuing to give the ball to Ricky Bell, and probably, you know, because of those 11 fumbles and the way we played, they might have salted that game away. He decided the best way to beat us was to let Vince Evans throw the ball. And that gave us a fighting chance. So, yeah, that was an amazing game. It was one of the two games I played in that people don't quite remember that part of it, you know, the fumbles. The other one is the catch game with San Francisco in January of 82. All the penalties, all the turnovers, everything. I mean, it was aesthetically wasn't a real pleasing game, but had one of the great game-ending drives of all time. One amazing play.
Let's talk about the Rose Bowl game, because you guys get into that game against number one ranked and undefeated Ohio State. They had beat you guys earlier that season 41-20. They come in a 15.5 point favorite. and Archie Griffin, who was in the midst of his back-to-back Heisman Trophy years. What did you guys learn from that first game that allowed you to come back and beat them 23-10 and deny them the national championship?
Well, yeah, we had an advantage. I think we had some really good talent that was being overlooked. And I think we also had some pretty amazing coaching. When you look at that coaching staff, that, you know, to us was a heck of an edge. And they were overconfident. You know, they acted like it the whole week. You know, we had gone to Disneyland and we had gone to the Lowry Steakhouse for the big beef bowl and all that. And, you know, Ohio State just thought it was a done deal. They were going to go out in the Rose Bowl and beat us as bad as they beat us at the Coliseum. And we kind of had other plans. And Dick Vermeil did just, you know, one of the early great jobs of his coaching career, which he would not go on to, you know, get to two other Super Bowls and win one as a coach.
Randy, as we talk about a turnaround from, you know, that in season with against Ohio State. In 1980, when you're in the NFL playing for the 49ers, you guys go 6-10. The next year, you turn it around and go 13-3 and win the Super Bowl. What happened that there was such a dramatic turnaround from one year to the next?
A few things. You know, we got a lot of breaks. We didn't get many injuries. Bill Walsh made some just ridiculous draft picks, drafting pretty much a whole defensive backfield with Ronnie and Eric Wright, Carlton Williamson. He made some trades. He got Jack Reynolds and Charlie Young from the Rams. He got the Chargers to give away the house that year to give us Fred Dean. He just put together a pretty special, you know, football team. And, you know, he convinced a lot of us that hadn't done much winning that we could do it. And it was definitely one of the most special things, you know, I'd ever done. In the previous 2 years, we had won 8 games. We won 2 games in 79 and we won 6 games in 80. And in total in the 81 season, we went 16-3 counting the playoffs. So, you know, we were ecstatic. We were having so much fun. One of the things I remember is we were always, you hear the term, we were about what's next, who's next. And we got done with that Super Bowl, got on the bus, went to go back to the hotel, and we were kind of looking at each other like, we don't have any more games. We don't get to play anymore. What's going on? it was something. It was a great experience, and it was probably the most pure fun I've ever had playing football.
Randy, talking about special head coaches, last week we lost a great player, a great coach, and an even better person in Dan Reeves. He meant a great deal to both Bob and I. He joined us on the show here pretty regularly. I saw your post on Twitter about Coach Reeves. Wanted to give you a moment to talk about what you knew about Coach.
Yeah, you know, I met Coach Reeves earlier in my career, like through some Pro Bowls and that type of thing. And then I moved to Atlanta in 92. And I got a chance to, you know, do some games, you know, with him when he was coaching. And I got a chance to play some golf with him here in Atlanta. I got the chance to know him and know what a really amazing man he was. Besides being a great football player and an amazing football coach and all that, he was as good as you would think. I mean, just a good old boy from America's Georgia. And, you know, it was fun to be able to say hi to a guy like that and he'd know who you were.
100%. Bob, one more for Randy.
Just Randy, I want to get your opinion about the whole Candlestick Park experience. You know, I'm asked a lot here on the East Coast, Randy, you know, why is Joe Namath in the Hall of Fame? Well, if anybody ever played at Shea Stadium and, did what he had to do in that kind of weather and wind. We always think about Candlestick. I was a big baseball player and watched some games in the 70s that I just couldn't believe. But talk about Candlestick, the experience. Obviously, the fans were there because of the Super Bowls, but How was it as a sports town and playing in that kind of environment?
Well, you know, San Francisco is like every town. When you're bad, it's not very much fun to be a to be an athlete for that particular sport. But we did some winning for an extended period of time there in San Francisco that, I mean, those fans became about a touchdown advantage. Unless it was a night game, then it might have been a 2-touchdown advantage because they knew how to prepare for a game. And trust me, by the time it kicked off, they were ready to go. Candlestick was an intimate kind of place because, you know, the fans were right on top of the teams, especially the visiting team. And it was a baseball stadium. It had an infield. It was nasty. It was literally below sea level because the bay outside was higher than the field. So when it was high tide, that sod would come up in gigantic clumps. It might be 80 degrees and it'd be like it rained for 2 days. I'm glad we played there. I'm glad I got to be associated with those fans in that building because those were experiences I'll never forget.
Randy, one more before we let you go. And you were inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame back in 2010. Talk about what it was like for you to be recognized like that.
It was really special. I mean, it was great for my family. Got to share it with my kids and my son and my mom and a couple of my sisters. It was a really amazing class with all the other Hall of Famers that went in with me. It was, I believe, either the last or the next to last, year of South Bend, Indiana, because they moved it to Atlanta about 10 years or so ago. And it was a pretty cool place, the Hall of Fame there. And it had a real hometown kind of a feel to it. Maybe not quite like it is right now, because now they do the dinner and all that in Vegas. They did do it in New York, but yeah, it was great. It was great to get that recognition. It was something that really took me by surprise. I mean, my last college football game was January 1st of 1976, so it was 35 years later. I got that call. So yeah, I was a little surprised, but that's cool. It was a great career. And, you know, you have to be a first team All-American to even be eligible to be in that Hall of Fame. So it's a pretty select group.
Randy, before we let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing now, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Well, the best place is always randycross.com. That's where a lot of my podcast stuff and whatnot lives. I'm on Twitter, randycrossfb. I'm on Instagram at rcross51. And I still work with CBS Sports, still do college football. So I stay active doing that. And I'm lucky enough to say through the course of my life, I've had two jobs. My job was to play professional football, and my job has been to talk about football. So I have no delusions. I'm pretty damn lucky.
There you go. Randy, we're pretty damn lucky to have you on the show tonight. We can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come and be a part of it. We hope you'll come back and join us again sometime.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Stay in touch.
Take care, Randy. All the best to you and your family.
All right. Sure will. Thank you.
That's a great Randy Cross, Bob, a heck of a football player, obviously. College football, fantastic with his run there at UCLA. Got to play with a lot of great players and coaches. And then the greatness that happened when he was a part of it there in San Francisco, winning 3 Super Bowls there. What a tremendous career. And now a fantastic broadcaster.
Very humble and thankful for the life he's had, Chris. And you and I just love those kind of guys that have spent their entire careers with one team, and 13 years in San Francisco. And, you know, there was guys that got more ink than he did, obviously playing with those Super Bowl teams, but he was one heck of a lineman playing both center and guard. And, he was one of the best.
Yeah, a rock on that offensive line and a main reason why Joe Montana wasn't on his backside and got to throw all those touchdown passes. So good for Randy. Hopefully we get the opportunity to catch up with him again soon. All right, we've got our next guest, Todd Stussy, hanging on the line. Going to get to Stuce right on the other side of this real quick station break.